Rashi says that this was an anticipation in Mishpat, we were told it's going to be about the subsequent year, but the Malach is the cause of the Kisa. The contradistinction to what I think would seem to be more simple understanding of the Parshas, these are two different messages altogether. One, Mishpat, that Malach is to be simple, they're not right here to accept Jewish Kina, more than they can bear, more than they can relate to. But it's not a punishment, it's not a consequence of chet. Whereas in Kisisa, it's clearly defined as such. Moreover, whereas in Mishpatim, we have a continuation of Mamad HaSinai. Kisisa, there's a reversal of that in many respects. That can actually be looked at as a more general issue of sequence of parshas, the significance, depending on how events are arranged and ordered, their import and the character are very, very different. We touched before in this lashon, which we didn't see so much earlier, is the item is in a farish, particularly when he deals with the question of the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ribbono Shel Olam, what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, what the Rishon wanted, etc. This connection also springs a surprise or two. Everything is following the account of Isa Egil and its culmination, leading up to the point, a personal plan for Moshe Rabbeinu, he severed himself from everybody else. And at that point, the involvement of Isa Egil is completed. And Moshe returns to the Ben Shalom and begins to question what he did, etc. Here there's a call of Sukkim, which I think have some bearing upon how to understand the sequence of the events. After the sequence of Moshe Egel proper and the sort of reversal of Mount Sinai, then the psukim which describe how Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the machne, goes off to Ve'el Ve'el, which is Mechutz LaMachne now. Then there's some account, strangely enough, of how the Moshe relates to Moshe Rabbeinu and vice versa. Back in Moshe, Ohela, Yered, Abu Dhanav, Amar Petzach, Ohel, Moshe, ורח עולם את עבוד עולם ואי פתח אוהל וקם כל עולם והשתחוו איש פתח אוהלו ודיבר השם משה פנים על פנים אשר דבר איש ראהו ושב אל המחנה ומשרתו יש לו בנה למי שתוך המחנה אלא במתוך אוהל. Strange place to have a description of nature of discourse, the dialogue between Moshe and Moshe Rabbeinu. The dialogue itself, with the description we have of how Moshe spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, of course, in two places, very central places. One, the Parsha Mahaloscha, responds to the challenge of Moshe of Aaron and Miriam to Moshe Rabbeinu's unique status. So there, we're emphasizing the singularity, the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe invests up to this. There's something different from what you have over here. The post says, Yerushimunet v'raymin v'yachem Hashem mamarei la v'tvada b'chalom d'avavo v'chel avdi Moshe b'ko betinem anu pel pa d'avavo v'arav v'chidot v'ad Hashem yabit v'adol yiretev d'aber v'avdi v'moshe. Here it's not panim panim b'pel per, but the continuation of the pasuk v'arav v'lo v'chidot is the equivalent in many respects of the panim panim. Of course, the phrase appears at the end of the Torah, at the very end. V'kal yom yisrael k'moshe asher yedo Hashem panim el panim. And that's the place we understand why it appears. First, by way of emphasizing Moshe Rabbeinu's uniqueness and contradistinction between Aaron and Miriam. And second, the conclusion of the Torah, where uniqueness is described to Moshe Rabbeinu not only with regard to his contemporaries, but the Davis as well, Moshe Panim Panim. Here we understand. Why over here in Kisisa, at the conclusion of Maisa Egil, and what follows therefore, V'dojon Moshe Panim El Panim. One way of understanding this is to relate this to the Maisa Egil. And this is one of two ways. Either to, notwithstanding the fact that it might say it had taken place, but nevertheless, the Meshim continues to talk to Meshim Rabbeinu and to talk to him in a way which is unique to his own nevuah. Chazal, in other contexts, say that 38 years in Midbar, that Meshim Rabbeinu did not have Gilu Shechina of the quality which normally was related to him, described to him. Because it's Benuda, the Tzibu is Benuda, so Meshuva is Benuda. But that was after Maisa Meraglim. And perhaps the Torah here wants to emphasize that we might have thought this would happen. What happened after Maisa Meraglim? What happened to Maisa Egel? This was not the case. Why that was not the case, I think the answer is clear. Meshe Rabbeinu's Nidui, the boy speaks in Babasra, only after 38 years, is being cut off from the source of the Vuhr, so of course no special Vuhr, was not through some fault of his. It was not through the Maisim Raglim for which he could have been punished. If they were punished in any way, it was maybe Rivo, which comes subsequently. So it was all a function of the fact that his status was to a great extent related to his position as the commanding of Klal Yisrael. And the minute that was cut off, he was cut off as well. But that, of course, took place only later on. The message of Raglim was that the role which should be given them, a special role, enter Eretz Yisrael to establish the issue, etc., that's finished. They're the ones who will enter. So they were Menudim, Maisa Egel ends with some sense, the Ripukdiv Karatelechem. There's going to be retribution, there's going to be punishment, and there will be a change in some sense, the relation of Klal Yisrael, but this is not a total severance of the relationship, and therefore they were not menudim. Since Moshe Rabbeinu has been cut off, it was because of them, they're not being cut off over here. And that's what I want to emphasize, Yerushalayim Moshe Panim L'Panim. that respect, you don't have something novel here. Shabbos is going back to the early, the continuation of the early relationship. I think that it's also conceivable that the pasuk here stresses this point, not by way of looking back, but looking ahead. And this has to do with what the Chiddush HaZohar talks about here. And what follows, you have in one respect a continuation of an innovation which you had during the Ma'aseh Egel, but in a different vein. This is for the Benish Leilam, in terms of any complaints that he has to make, and extent to which he wants to debate, to challenge, that we don't encounter previously. We have at one point, in the Pasha Shmeis, where constipation, betainas, mazbat, the power of the Beb Shmecha, things are just going sour, bad to worse. But Chazal there, of course, criticized him for that. Vayera begins to mention the obvious, Chazal say, Chavad Abdullah Mishtakhin, that each of them received commitment to Ben Shalom, and prima facie was not realized, not fulfilled, they didn't complain, and Meshach Rabbeinu comes to complain. So the right to complain, to challenge, apparently not there. Beyond that, there's no further challenge, no further complaints. Until the Ma'aseh Egel. Depending on how the Ma'aseh Egel, how the Meshach's tefillah there is read. Parsha itself was very familiar, but I said it's a question of what content one attributes to it, particularly what tone one attributes to it. Immediately after the Moshe Rabbeinu is informed of what happened, because Vayechal. תניח לך פי ואחלה ועשה אותך לגוי גדול וחבו שפני השם על הוקב. Now, ואיכל could would normally be understood as a plea, not a demand, not banging the table, as a plea. Moreover, this tefillah and some of the other tefillahs, Moshe Rabbeinu pleads on behalf of Klal Yisrael, not necessarily by way of crying out the virtues, how wonderful they are, they don't deserve anything, but by way of focusing upon the impact of Amach HaShemayim. But you understand why Moshe should be concerned about this. Who cares what the Egyptians say, what these say, what the Israel say, what they'll say, what they'll say. But much as we find it difficult to understand this, Meshach was concerned about it. Meshach was very much Hashem, Hashem, part of the element of Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem, and said relates to this. And the Parsha in Meraglim, Meshach's tefillah there comes through. In any event, he, as I say, he doesn't complain on their behalf. Leaves that at the side and said, because if he were to plead on their behalf, he wouldn't have much of a case to make out. So does Vayechal. And Vayechal, Chazal take not a sense of a plea, but with a measure of complaint, of challenge. In sharpest form, that appears in the Gemara, Shalidah Chapshat, the word Vayechal. remarkable statement in the Gemara in Brachos. Chal dam b'shon chalot to plead but to render ill. Chal bo shepnei Hashem amar v'lozim malamed shemar v'shem b'tfilah l'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu ad she'echelo. רב הוא אמר עד שפר לו נדרו, כתיב אך ואיכה כתיב אותם לכל דברו. שמואל אמר, מלמד שבשר עצמו למיטה להם, שלמה, מה עם חן המסבכה שכתבת? Couple lines later, רבון עולם מלמד שלו משה וקדוש ברוך הוא, ריבונו של עולם, חולינו לך מעשות כדבר הזה. כתיבים את הסיים ואין, תני רבלו את הגודל אומר, מלמד שמד משה הרבה בשם בתפילה והקדוש ברוך הוא, עד שחזתו האכילו. האכילו, אומר לא זה אש של עצמות, אש של עצמות הרבה היה שתי גרמי. The thrust of all of this, of course, is opportunity on part of Moshe Rabbeinu. He nudges and he pressures and he presses and he challenges. But this, of course, is not just because of the word Vayichal. Vayichal is the description of what goes on. And that suggests the tone, not one of opportunity, not one of pleading, but almost a very stern tone. Questions. Lama Hashem, Lama Yabu Mitzrayim. Maybe Lama, that's what Rabbi Shalom wants. No. And that being the case, this parsha, the parsha Vayichal, falls within the category that Chazal speak of in various tones. And a very important question for ourselves as well. Why is the category over here? For those who are Chazal Sibatiyah, don't clap in Ma'ala. אמר בלוזר, חנאי תרדו עם כאב אמר שנאמר, ותתפל על השם, not על השם, but על השם, מספר about him, she complained about him, למה שתרדו עם כאב אמר לה. ובלוזר, ליאו תרדו עם כאב אמר לה, שם אתה את זה באותה ליבה מחורנית. Then later on, אבל אז הוא משה תדעו כאן במעלה, שמה יקלו משה על השם, אל תקרא לשם, אלא על השם. שכן ורבי לא, ברב יעקב קורא לאלפין, איינין, איינין, אלפין. אז הוא בקרס בו סייס in the same vein. And the tiny that is made, which we hear frequently, of course, in modern liberal sociological and psychological sources, so therefore, my estimation of Yechter. All of this is in the context of being Matiach Tom Klapi Ma'ala. Elsewhere, the Gemara has some sharp things to say about being Matiach Tom. The Gemara in Tainis, Amar Blazer, same Blazer, when Gemara in Brachas tells us, Meshra ben Yisrael, Pirvati Ruka Bimala, לעולם אל יצליח אדם דברים כלפי מעלה. כשאדם גדול יצליח דברים כלפי מעלה, ואיטלה, אני גרלם פה, מנו לוי, הוא עושה את הדברים כלפי מעלה. כמו שאמרתי בפור, לוי גוזל תעניתה, ולא אתה מיטרה. אמר לפור לגבולו של העולם, עלית וישבת במרום, ואין את מברכים על בניך. This is complaint. Atta mitra, so Tfilah helped, but he was punished, v'itla, developed the length. So Gemma asks, Chag Amalei, the limp was caused by Betaduk Abimala, V'alevi, where no further was source, Ach v'kida kami de Rebbe, wanted to demonstrate what he could have a shtak where I was kidded, the itla. When it says over her, go Malay. That was a gerim, both factors. And even here there's a clear statement with an anecdotal element to back it up. What should I be telling Dvok Lapi Malo? As opposed to Dvoyim Brachis, just to be with the other one. The question, of course, is one of the very fundamental issue. What kind of stance can a person adopt in front of the Ben Shalom? What kind of language, what kind of questions can should be raised? It's not a question of choice of the words. More than anything else, the question is the tone. Tone is in function. Say one person speaks another by a certain tone of how the speaker, at any rate, perceives the social relationship between himself and the person he's addressing. When you speak in a tone of veneration, the same words you can say with a tone of condescension. And the tone is a reflection of the account to which we would consider to be a fundamental element of Yira, of Kabbalah Sabach HaShemayim, of Kabbalah Sadin. That's the way a person said for the Ben Shalem, Tzidduk Adin. And yet it's not Tzidduk Adin. The Vatidduk Rabbi Malo is not to be Vatidduk Sadin, to accept Din Shemayim, to accept that it's just and right, as Tanakh, in many places, of course, we have, Hagid Yashar Hutsu, Blah Soboy, Pasha Nazinu, Kelim Rabbe Nava, Tzadik V'Yasharu. That we assume is what Yira Shemayim entails. A person who has that sense, the first one, he thinks that it's right. Ve'in Aval, Tzadik V'Yasharu. And secondly, even if you thought that we're wrong, we'd have the chutzpah to question, to challenge. Here you have G'day Le'ilam, the guy to whom it said that Amateh Dvok Lapi Malo. This is for us a dual problem. One problem, the Kfosh Linyan. If we had no question about apparent contradictions between the two Gemaras. Someone asks, is there no Gemaras involved? Does the person have the right to complain about the Ben Shalom? Is that doing him right? Hashemah relates such to such statements. And presumably, if we think in terms of Yekum HaKazal HaKotvo, Oskin Shayo, or as people like to quote from The Tempest, My Foot, My Tutor. That's what we would expect. But on top of that, you have the Gemara in the same phrase, the Gemara in Tainis and Gemara here. Presumably, it's a bit because of a shlish to bechir b'neihem. It's the Gemara Gittin, Agada Bar Kokhba. Zaki. The incident in one mentions over here, and then he goes on, it's actually proven about the Roma. Romar, Alo Ata Elohim Znachtanu, Lotetse Elohim Betzivoteinu, that was a Mikshrach Shele Pume. He had no business talking that way, he had no business challenging. The Gemara goes out there, it's passing Tilly. David Namir Barochi. When I said David, there's three kumasim. Was banging the table. He was with a sense of awe and reverence. He was wondering, how could this be? French like says, the tone you feel the music, everything's in the tone. Same words can be expressed by way of wondering of the Daki Ashgoche, and on the other hand, of challenging what can be in a total of submission, the other was the Vodikum of revolt. I presume that the respective Gemaras, Brachas and Tainis, understood the letter of the Gemara in Gittin. When you encounter the Gemara in Brachos, was said in pain, in anguish, but also with a sense of amazement and wonder, how did this be constant with Daki Ashgoche, with the Midas, etc. Levi was something else. Complained about the Ben Shalom in terms reminiscent of Korean theology, left the world, was left its own devices. The measures come so far from history, come so far from nature, come so far from us. And there was Shabbat B'tiach Dvar. The issue is one which, of course, is critical of two planes. One, the area of tefillah directly. Second, that which tefillah reflects. Tefillah is a way of, the point of departure of tefillah is the relationship of one's Ben Shalom, how he stand, what it means for him to stand. And all of the emphasis which the Rava speaks about, the Rambam, Rambam HaMelech, etc. Here, that's going to be the Shemaim. All of that is a reflection of the meekness, the humility which a person needs to bring to tefillah, even when he has something asked. A question in our world is not a legitimate but given primary status. But the word tefillah itself most nearly comes to the element of a kosher. A kind of distinction to the more idealistic conceptions of tefillah. Kant and all his followers were scandalized with the element of Bakoshi. They thought the person addressed the Bishlam should be addressed as an idealist with a capital I. But in our world, the pretense, some of which self-sufficient, is itself arrogance. And one thing tefillah should not be is arrogant. But given this background, however one resolves this issue, whatever nuances, and it's conceivable that to some extent one's right to make complaints, if there is such a right, is a function of the tragedy to which has been exposed, how grievous, how grave, how serious are the events which perturb him. But in any event, this is a serious issue, a serious problem. Fundamental question of how we step into the Ribbono Shel Olam, what degree of acceptance and submission. And here, depending on how one reads the Vayechal Moshe, if you read the light of the Gemara in Brachos, quite conceivably, the response to part of the Ribbono Shel Olam would have been, cut him off. In other contexts, the Ribbono was crossed with it. Pasha Bais Chanan begins to complain also. Ten Lashans to fill it, if he ascribes to him. Finished. That could have happened over here too. But about Tosef learning that part of the Beishev's command to Beishev Rabbeinu, but the Beishev's response, if that's the way you relate, that's the way you talk, I will not be Meisif. Perhaps the boy, if the baby continues to speak to him, to address him, it'll be in the light of the loss of a certain degree of confidence, no longer the same relationship. So I always think of this connection, similar connections, when Browning's poem was never glad, confident, mourning again. That's finished. And that's what the person wants to emphasize. That was not the case. Whatever the reason is, we ask the white takif, if I chal, it's a sharp term, so takamatim to a klapi malos, the white takif eventually didn't punish him. The punishment should have been cutting off of the vor, or at least cutting off the vor at a certain level. So we can conjecture various answers why the bench was makabalus, makabavav. But there's an additional point. Can you come to the Rosh Hashanah in particular? This pasuk, "V'divrei Hashem Asher Panim El Panim," precedes the next couple of parshas, which, in a sense, present Moshe Rabbeinu in a new role. Yom Moshe El Hashem, and note that in contrast to what usually happens, usually the Rabbi Moshe Moshe Lemo, Rabbi Hashem is what initiates the conversation, the discourse. Here it, Moshe Rabbeinu starts, Yom Moshe El Hashem, Re'a Tomei Lehar Tom Azeh, Ve'ato Lo Oda Tadda Shut Yishlach Imi, Ve'ato Amad Yatich V'Shem, Ve'amatzat Chaim Be'inai. And apparently with the continuation of that pasuk details, you said, you promised, Tichav Hashem was Tichav Be'inai. Where is the Tichav Hashem? Rashi says right here, תן עיניך ולבך על דבריך. אתה אומר אליי הר, ואתה לא הודעתני, ואשר אמרתי לעיני ראשיך מלאך, אין זה יודע שאני חפץ בו. Some mean fulfilled. So there's some questions, some challenging. We need to know that Moshe Rabbeinu has been given by the Ben Shlomo, despite the Vayichal, his continuation of his unique status, and he can ask. What does he ask, and how does he ask? Here I think the Rosh Hashanah speaks in one vein, I think soon comes in another vein. He's troubled by this. Why is Moshe being asked so many questions? Who gave him the right to challenge? Moshe has a specific game plan. Or is he trying to do something differently? Particularly, he asks, with regard to the question of the Malach. Reshu Rui Litmo, Eichit Pale Moshe Levatir, Masha Malo Hashem, Ki Min Anireshet, Masha Malo Shmit Barach, Ki Lai Kir Bechav, Nam Amar Zer Lechem Lota Yisrael, Yirato Ben Esigem, Ki Lai Yom, Fidar Kam Arai, Mi Yato Cham. So why is he complaining? Then he asks further questions. Chaim Kesher HaParasha Sfekot Rabot Sichot Beiu. Sfek Yerushonu Kachash Moshe Shemitbarach Yato Omer Elai Ha'av Chulei. Ha'ar Yipalei Miyad Olomai Mebrei Molchim Otelein Mize. הוא לא עשה כן. אבל הוא אמר, אתה אינו מצחי בעיניך. וזה באמת בקשה טובה ראויה. אבל יראה שאינו מעניינה של דבר כלל. ספק השני, אחר שישב יברך אמר לו, פונה ילך ובניחותי לך, איך ישבי משה, אם אין פניך הולכים, אתה לא מזה. למה הייתי ספק, ושכדור ידיע לקדוש ברוך הוא בוודאי, אבל שבתור דו, פונה ילך ובניחותי, אם אין פניך הולכים, זה פסול לי, זה פסול לי, נו. ספק השלישי, אחר ששנה לקדוש ברוך הוא בבקר בדבר הזה שדיברת עשר, איך שילה יש עוד ואמר, אם לא מזכה בעיניך אשר ידע שבקרבנו, ונתן טעם לזה ואומר כי ים כשעורף הוא מספיטים כל יש דבר שפרשה צריכה בי הוא רחב and he goes on to explain this in light of his whole theory about the Malach of Yer, what's the benefit of Christ, what's not for their benefit. But the whole direction of his discussion is by way of finding fault, finding some problem, that questions he raises, and taking this to be some kind of argument, if you will, to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. At each point, Moshe Rabbeinu keeps coming back. That's certain the Moshe will fulfill, will not fulfill, etc. A certain argumentative quality here, which he perceives in the parasha. I don't think that this is the way parasha should be read. At any rate, not its continued flow. Maybe the opening of it. By the time it's set chay beinecha, yedina trachecha veidacha leman tzchay beinecha, chay ki amcha goy hazeh. Mapra, Yelecho, etc. Then again, Vamegi Vadai, Fot, Vatsat, Etzet, Kemirani, Vamecha, Alam Lech Tzecha, Imanu, Lefim, Vachu, 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 and the concept here, which comes to the fore, Vachu, 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 said, "Chayim benecha din to chayim the arman's chayim benecha." Chayim is mentioned twice over there. Two psukim later, Rabbi Vaday Foki was said, "Chayim benecha." Two psukim after that, Yom Hashem and Moshe, Yom Dvash and Zesh Bat Esek, was said, "Chayim benai." What is Mitzias Chayim and what is its thrust? There are two ways to understand what this Chayim is. In broad terms, it signifies grace. Grace is theological sense. Ritzui versus Ratzui to Ben Shleilam. Is a Tzvi Hashem, as the Rambam speaks to some connection. That's what the Chayin is. In that sense, the emphasis can be upon the final result rather than its rationale. But beyond that, one can understand Psukim to reduce the role of any rationale and to have grace here in something approaching, as more generally, in its Christian sense. As we understand, which appears in this parasha, and Aschina. Now these are not contradictory senses, they're just different. One of them speaks of the result, the person finds favor in the eyes of Ben Shleilam, and grace is dispensed to him, or to speak of something in him, by the personal community, which is favored by the Ben Shleilam, not for any particular reason of Shchus, but the whole point of Chen is it's not B'Shchus. Noach Mitzchem Ene Hashem, Master of Sanhedrin, that Noach too should have been destroyed, but Mitzchem found favor. And what we've encountered in this parasha is a question we have on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu for two things. He wants to find favor. He wants to be close to the Ben Shleilam. Ratzui. And it's a quest for knowledge and understanding. Neither, I think, is to be taken as a complaint. Maybe I have some complaints, but these complaints, I think, are not coming before in these parashas. And what you have instead is the expression of a desire, a description of a quest, and what is it that he's seeking? He wants to understand, and he wants to be favored. Now, the extent to which he wants to understand, it turns out it's too extreme. And the Mishnah tells him, only in a very partial way, you're asking too much. But the fact that part of the request is rejected is precisely one way of emphasizing that it is indeed a quest of his part, what he would like. In this respect, to give me this response to the quest, and depending on how the Sukhima read, tailored scriptural discovery. Noted several occasions, we have two places in the Torah, the same words, but very different substantive meaning. Avraham and Moshe Rabbeinu both, we've got to both of them, this says, V'yikra b'shem Hashem. But the Torah are different. We've got Avraham, V'yikra, called out b'shem Hashem, and never mentioned later. Meaning that which he already knew, he proclaimed, he disseminated, he encouraged. But then should the Kriya, calling out, not exclamating, but exclaiming, but proclaiming. Here the parasha is different. Not v'yikra b'shem Hashem nesmichus, v'yikra b'shem, exclaimed explicitly, Hashem. And there's a question here, who proclaimed this? Many contexts, Foshim, Roshim, and then this is the Ben Shalem. It's a price of revelation. It says revealing something of himself up to a certain point, or beyond that point, Meshavit is told, whatever you know. But up to that point, it could be understood by Yikra, Shem Hashem, Baishu called out his name. The love always preferred Rashi's reading. Yikra, Shem Hashem. Tagminan Ukra Bishmad Hashem. Rashbam says Ukra Bishem Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kara Kishaya Oveir Bishem Kmo Sheolach Olech Mufaresh. Explain over here, I forget who explains exactly right now. Mr. Chomim. One of the first of Rashi, Rabbi Shem Hashem, is intended, says, Uncles translates, Rabbi Shemad Hashem, the first of Moshe Rabbeinu. If that's the case, then what you have here is a process, not of Moshe revealing himself, Moshe Rabbeinu discovering, penetrating, as it were, the world of Shekhinah and discovering what he could. That's a response to that's a continuation of the process of seeking cognitively to understand, to perceive, to experience, as opposed to Avraham Avinu, who had already internalized whatever he wanted to proclaim, and was acting as a public relations person on behalf of the Ben Shalom. This is a Moshe Rabbeinu meeting Baal Beinayim, as it were. There's no public relations about this, nothing public about it, it's perfectly, totally intimate. The Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Panim El Panim. In that respect, I think that the Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Panim El Panim is precisely not the focus of it. His privileges will not be removed. His prerogative is of Dibur Panim upon him is there. And he availed himself of that in pleading eventually for Deinina Reinina, who wants to know and to understand much better and to be deeply engaged, deeply related. Now, this, of course, gives a totally different cast. The parsha in the Drosh Ran is over here. Drosh Ran envisions this whole discussion back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu has some complaint to make. He promised he didn't deliver. back to end of Parsha Shmos, but as part of the Bishmecha, and the Bishmecha answers and answers them back. It's all ping pong with interest in the Parsha. My own understanding of the Parsha is different, that whatever complaint Moshe Rabbeinu had to those were behind him, and now he's opening a new front, as it were, trying to pin down the Metzias Chayin, both for himself and Klal Yisrael, Yiva Amecha, and in that context, speaking with utter submission, coming to terms fully, and not in any way a way of lodging a complaint, much less a criticism that you promised and you don't give. But coming back to the Rosh Hashanah, his understanding, of course, is different, and he ties this up with the Pasha of the Malach, same Malach, a different Malach, all part of his understanding. In this respect, I think Rashi agrees with him that Shlachimi refers to the Malach, Rashi is over here. And then in that, some sense, it's a complaint, who promised he would send some with me, to help me out, and I'm not getting it. My friend Christine in this context was the process of dialogue, give and take to the Moshe Rabbeinu, which he envisions. And his role is the help of the word of Parshanut, not simply some kind of abstract philosophic thought, but textual exposition based on certain philosophical premises, expressing certain theological positions, but textually oriented, textually anchored. The rest this drasha is devoted to two things, continuing the discussion, what she promised and promised, etc. What Moshe Rabbeinu says, what he should have said, what he ought to have said. And secondly, a theme which unquestionably grew apart from the Ramban, and much of what he has to say these years is influenced by the Ramban, namely, the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael with regard to religious life, spiritual life, and the person of the commonality. It's an issue which the Ramban discusses with many contexts, but here there's, I think, some other shit different. The Ramban speaks of most of the mitzvahs. Mitzvah Yisrael, different from Mitzvah Chutz La'aretz, Yisur Moshe in Chutz La'aretz, that's the Yobe, Saka Yaakov married two sisters, and all of the answers to Chutz La'aretz are different. Here it's more than that. It's not just that the more Mitzvah, the level of Mitzvah Chutz La'aretz is inferior than Eretz Yisrael, and that Chet in Eretz Yisrael is graver, greater than Chutz La'aretz, but the opportunity, some access to Ben Shleilam, that's very different here than elsewhere. Therefore, the role of Tefillah is different, Kabbalah is different. And he was aware that there was a Chabad that's somewhere in the background, לא כמו אותם שמתחסדים לומר כי יכולת השם שווה בכל מקום לא טיב ולהרע. כן, העניין כן. תביא אוכל את הפאור לבין שלילום to affect matters in us. Yisrael is living in Chutz Laaretz. And he was aware of the fact that said that some people thought this was the meaning Malchus Shemayim, the power of the authority of the Ben Shalom, and he rejects that. I want to look at that discussion, this topic in general, who starts in Eretz Yisrael, conceived not in national political terms, sovereignty, hegemony, etc., but purely spiritual terms. This you have. I take the Ramban as the prime source of this. Partly, of his quote, yes, partly quotes. Partly the Ramban with that Yaakov. Why Ochlat? Very recently, why Ochlat to die for the end of Israel? The Ramban did in Achimos towards the end, and the Ramban in Akiv. Pashat Tefillah and Mezuzos, Pashat Yom Shavua. We'll look at that. There'll be time left. Continue on. That comes in two versions, A and B. We'll start looking at more, pretty much we'll start next time. Look at A and get to B subsequently. That brings him back to Moshe Rabbeinu and his unique character, his characteristics, and why the question of it was perturbed previously, why the Moshe needed a stammer and a stutterer. Not to get his message across. Then it moves on subsequently to deal with certain mitzvahs, the nature of mitzvahs, the character of mitzvahs. We'll be looking at all of that in due time, but not the next time. When do we have Basav? When do we have questions again?
I'm not sure.
2 weeks?
That's the first question.
Next week.
Next week.
All right, so what I mentioned now is that next week, 2 weeks from now.
Also, this is a key for the company. I see also.